This is a Triple J podcast.
G'day, it's Dave Marchese with you for Hack's Deep Dive of the Week, and we're getting into something that we know is one of the biggest issues impacting students right now, placement poverty. It's the financial distress a lot of you find yourself in when you're doing those really big compulsory placements, but you're actually not getting paid.
You know, you've got 30 to 40 hour weeks in placements already and you're trying to work 10 to 20 hours just to put food on your plate and a roof over your head.
Students are saying those poverty conditions are having a serious impact on their lifestyle and on their health. A lot of people telling us they've had to give up their degrees altogether.
We have students who sleep in their cars and we sleep in hospitals after placements and are having to do night shifts between placements to make ends meet. And some of these students have gotten into horrific car crashes as a result.
Now, you might remember last year when the federal government changed the rules around paid placements. It meant students doing nursing, midwifery, teaching and social work could get paid a bit of money to help them out. But this week, we saw a big push from students and some politicians in Canberra to expand that scheme. It's something a lot of you want to talk about. Let's dive into a bit of the detail with Hack political reporter Evelyn Manfield.
We are burning our young people out.
Australians don't want to live in a country where you have to have wealthy parents to become a doctor.
This government needs to get itself into gear and do something about these prac payments.
There is no incentive for these young people to go into these caring roles.
A group of uni students and politicians have joined forces, calling for medicine, speech pathology, dentistry, pharmacy, physio, psychology, OT and other allied health students to get paid for their placements.
We have a skills shortage, and yet we are putting students in a position where they're having to live in poverty and in many cases drop out because they simply cannot afford to do their degree.
The proposal from David Pocock and other independents is for eligible students to get paid about $340 a week. They've also got a new calculation of how much that would cost the government to bring in.
That cost is, I think, a very reasonable $290 million over a four-year period.
The people pushing this reckon paying students for their compulsory work placements would take off some of that financial stress students face, trying to juggle uni, placement and their actual jobs. Independent Helen Haynes, who's from regional Victoria, says it's needed because placement hours are huge.
Up to 2,000 hours in some cases of mandatory clinical placement, and they do that with no payment whatsoever.
Doctor turned independent politician Monique Ryan reckons it's much harder for students now than when she was at uni.
When I was a medical student, it was a long time ago. There was no HECS fees when I first started university, I know. But I was also provided with cheap accommodation, and hospital cafeterias in those days were relatively affordable.
There already are some degrees where you get paid while on placement. Last year, the government began funding placements for nursing, midwifery, teaching and social work students. And at the time, it acknowledged placement poverty was a real thing.
But they left out the rest of the health team.
So is there an explanation of why some placements get paid but not others? Well, the Education Minister, Jason Clare, says the degrees that have paid placements already were the ones highlighted in a big review into the higher education system, and that's what the government is starting with. But independent Andrew Gee, an MP from regional New South Wales, says now it needs to go further because we need to do more to get students to choose careers in healthcare.
Country New South Wales and country Australia is in the midst of a health crisis.
The queues are massive for basic allied health. In places like Mudgee, it's weeks and months before you can even see a doctor.
The government has made support for the health system one of the big focuses of this term in power. It's why Anthony Albanese kept holding up his Medicare card during the election campaign last year. So given all that, healthcare students reckon they've got a good case, like Sebastian, who represents pharmacy students.
We want that stronger Medicare that was promised, and rightly so, at the last election. We need a stronger healthcare workforce to back it up.
This is Hack on Triple J.
Evelyn Manfield reporting there. We've got a lot of messages coming through on this. We know so many of you are experiencing placement poverty. Someone says, I'm a medical imaging student. I'm in my last year. We were required to complete 36 weeks of unpaid placement in my last year, sorry. This is hard financially, mentally and physically, and we do need a lot more help. Another person says, when I did my nursing degree, we had to do 1,000 hours of unpaid placement, sometimes for up to 6 weeks. I work two jobs to support myself while being expected to do assignments in the mix as well. I could not imagine doing it with the cost of living currently. Well, let's find out what it is like to do it right now. And with us is the president of the Australian Medical Students Association, Senaru Mudaniyaka. Senaru, thank you so much for joining us on Hack.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So you're studying medicine at the moment. Can you give us a bit of an indication of how much prac you've got to do?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm studying a degree that sits around the middle of medical degrees when it comes to placement hours. So I'll be doing around 3,000 hours of placement. So that's 3 years of 36 weeks of placement. So for the average medical student, they'll be doing somewhere between 2,000 and 4,000 hours of unpaid placement in hospitals.
That's so much time, thousands and thousands of hours. How do you imagine yourself juggling that? Like, is it something you think about a lot?
Absolutely. And for most of my degree, in fact, all of it, I've had to work around 2 days a week alongside medicine. And for a lot of students, that becomes a huge mental and financial burden. You know, you've got 30 to 40 hour weeks in placements already, and you're trying to work 10 to 20 hours just to put food on your plate and a roof over your head. I've had to sort of redo placements, and some I've come close to failing medical school a couple of times, all due to the fact that, you know, I had to support myself on these placements.
Yeah. Has it ever been something that's made you think, oh gosh, I don't know whether I can keep going with this? Like, maybe I will have to drop out.
Without a doubt. You know, I am one of the many medical students who face mental health issues. You know, we have 40 to 50% of medical students facing anxiety and depression symptoms, and one in five, which is a horrific number, having suicidal ideation in the last year. So it's definitely something I've considered to preserve my mental health, knowing that I have friends who have tragically ended their lives as a result of stress.
And a good reminder as well, if people are seeking support, Lifeline is always there on 13, 11, 14, offering support 24 hours a day. But Senaru, you know, we're hearing that as well, that so many people are struggling with their mental health while trying to get everything done, get life done, get studies done. We're hearing from people on our text line now. Someone says, I'm a doctor. I wouldn't have been able to keep up with the 30 hours plus per week of placement if it wasn't for living with my family. Another one says, beyond no incentives as a student, a job in healthcare actually offers very little other than burnout these days, is that person's opinion. Another person says, it would be good if prac payments were actually paid during the allocated placements, not 3 weeks after it's finished. And someone else says, everyone should be paid for placement. Work is work. Senaru, can you tell us about allied health students and exactly what that includes? Because people might be confused, you know, with who we're talking about here.
Absolutely. This terminology does get tricky. So it's really important to recognise that healthcare is made up of medical students and doctors, which is one category, and nurses, which is nursing and midwifery, which is another. Allied health generally captures all the other professions around that. So we're talking psychology and occupational therapy and physiology and exercise, exercise physiotherapy and all these other professions that are so important to keeping hospitals and this healthcare system running.
Senaru, there might be some people out there who are thinking, oh, well, when you become doctors, you're on a better salary than most, so why should you get these benefits? What would you say to that?
I would say that we have medical students from low socioeconomic, rural and Indigenous backgrounds, and they are often not able to have parental financial support. And we're asking them to do 10 to 20 hours of work a week on top of 30 to 40 hours of placement just to feed themselves. And at the end of the day, these are the doctors that Australia needs most. We know that they return to serve their own communities at much higher rates. And our medical workforce crisis is concentrated in Indigenous communities, rural areas and lower socioeconomic areas. And if we are serious about trying to make our universal healthcare system truly universal, then we have to make sure that we're not only investing money in trying to get these students into these courses, we have to make sure that they're getting through these courses to the end without dropping out. We know that around 45% of Indigenous medical students will be forced to drop out of their degree, which is a national disgrace. It's not because they're not smart. It's not because they're not going to be fantastic doctors. It's purely because many of them can't afford to support themselves in placement. And at the end of the day, if we're talking about the little boys and girls across this country who dream of being a doctor, there is no world in where I want my country to be one where we have to tell them no because your parents don't earn enough. And that's frankly the situation we're in now.
And Senaru, I mean, you talked about people dropping out, people struggling with their mental health, but just what are some of the other things you're hearing from students who are battling at the moment? Like, is it that people really can't afford to eat or can't afford places to live?
Without a doubt. You know, we have parents who are medical students and they're having to send their own children interstate to be raised by other people because they're working too long on top of placements that are too long to be able to support their children themselves. It's horrific. We have students who sleep in their cars and we sleep in hospitals after placements and are having to do night shifts between placements to make ends meet. And some of these students have gotten into horrific car crashes as a result. And as I've mentioned before, we know of some students for whom it's all too much and they do end up attempting or completing suicide. And I think one of the key parts of this picture as well is in terms of, you know, the two-tier system that medicine is quickly becoming between the students who, through no fault of their own, have parents who can afford to support them and the students who don't, is that we're seeing that as specialty bottlenecks rise in medical training down the line, a lot of medical students feel pressure to buff up their CVs in order to be competitive for those specialties. And what's happening is that many of these lower socioeconomic students simply can't do that, and they're not competitive for things like surgery and pediatrics and all these other sort of specializations. And at the end of the day, in this country, there should be no job that you can't do because of how much your parents make, and that's a circumstance that medical students are in already.
Well, thank you for coming on and giving us a bit of an insight into what it is like to be studying and to be battling this cost of living crisis at the moment. Sanaru Mudanayake from the Australian Medical Students Association, appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we've got some more messages coming through. Someone says, I can't finish my degree because I honestly can't afford to live if I did. And I'm one of the lucky ones that does get paid as I'm a nursing student. Look, remember, Lifeline is always there. If you do need some extra support, it's on 13 11 14. A really overwhelming response from so many people who are experiencing placement poverty and who are really saying we need to change this because if the current system continues on like it is, we're not going to have anyone who are going into these allied health roles because you just can't afford it. Like, you need the support at the time of studying, not later, not a bit down the track, but right now. Look, that is all we've got time for on the Hack Podcast for now. Remember, if you liked that story, please subscribe to this podcast. We've got stories like that all through the week, big interviews as well. You can also go follow us on socials, whether it's TikTok or Instagram. Triple J Hack is where you'll find us. I'll catch you next time.